Welcome to Shi'ar Jashub. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and along with the Church Fellowship of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, we are excited to bring you the start of a new Bible study series by my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo. It is an in-depth look at the Book of Romans. So let's go right into the Sunday message for the introduction.
Today we start our next study series, and this series should take a while. It's a study in the book of Romans, or more accurately, the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. Most manuscripts have the title Pros Romaeos, to the Romans, on it. So it's clear who the epistle is written to. It's one of the most non-contested books of the Bible. The authenticity of it is even accepted by your critics and your skeptics. The book of Romans, you'll notice in the New Testament, comes after the Gospels, after the book of Acts. It's the first of the epistles, first of the letters. And, you have in the Gospels the words and the works of Jesus. In the book of Acts, you have the words and the works of the apostles. And now, what is the significance of all this? Well, I believe the early church placed the book of Romans as the first epistle in the order of the New Testament because it is so crucial to Christians understanding the Word of God, the significance of what Jesus' sacrificial death meant, the significance of Christian teaching. What is the Christian teaching of the gospel? What is Christian doctrine, if you will? It's not chronologically the first epistle written, so the epistles are not listed in chronological order. It was placed here probably because the early church felt that it had so much importance for Christians to understand the message of the Gospels and the message of Acts. Paul in Romans records in this his most formal letter, most formal epistle, a systematic presentation of the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though Romans in our biblical order follows the Gospels and Acts, and though it provides a great teaching in Christian theology, if you will, it does not stand alone in a vacuum. I remember years ago when I was newly saved, I went into a Christian bookstore. This was not a local Christian bookstore. This was in a town far away from here. And there was a young fellow there who was into studying the Bible. He said, if you got the book of Romans, I think he threw Hebrews in also, you really don't need the rest of the Bible. You have the whole message right there. Now, that's not true. The book of Romans is not written in a vacuum. You have to read the book of Romans in light of the Gospels, in light of the book of Acts, taking into account the other epistles of Paul, taking into account the other letters and the book of Revelation in the New Testament, and really taking the whole Old and New Testament as a unit to properly interpret it. And it's extremely important in the book of Romans because the book of Romans has been foundational in much Christian theology in the teaching of what is the church's doctrine. And of course, it's also been many times the focus of church divisions, of differences in theologies and differences in doctrines and interpretations over the centuries that have caused huge splits in the church. So while Romans is rightly placed, I believe, by the early church after the Gospels and Acts because of its importance, it too must be interpreted as a whole in the context of the whole Bible. One of the reasons that as a prelude to this book, I went back in the book of Acts. So there's a number of different messages that Paul delivered recorded in the book of Acts, but just that one message to Agrippa, how much we garnish, we were able to see from that message, which carries over then into an interpretation of the book of Romans, because it's the Saint Paul who was anointed by the Holy Spirit that gave that message before Agrippa, is writing this letter to the church at Rome. And if you want to, if you get to a scripture and that you're not quite sure is the interpretation this way or that way, well, it's got to agree with the whole. It's got to agree with everything else Paul says. Matter of fact, most importantly, it has to agree with everything else the Holy Spirit says in the whole Bible. Romans is a reasoned commentary on the Christian faith, and we see the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon a scholarly rabbi. You really see the rabbi nature of Paul in the book of Romans. He'll sometimes use the rabbinical question and answer technique in a format in the letter, and the Holy Spirit uses that to bring questions up and answer them. But it's really more than just a book of theology. It's often spoken about as the book of theology, the book of Christian theology, but it's more than that. But as I said, because it does handle theological issues, many times the debates over interpretations of some critical areas, and if you have any foundation, if you've been a Christian for a while, you know those areas that we're going to get to. When there's much debate, what did Paul mean? And it makes a huge difference how you look at the book. And I believe that a misunderstanding of portions of the book of Romans has led to errors creeping, sometimes very dangerous errors, creeping into church teaching over the centuries, and even allowing some cultic things to shoot off from it. I remember the words, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." So he's speaking about the writings, the letters of Paul, our beloved brother Paul. "As also in all his epistles." So Peter is familiar, as is the church at the time, that Paul writes these letters. "As are all his epistles," he writes them with the wisdom the Lord gives him, "speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand." Now you understand why some of these deep issues God would entrust with Saul, who's an educated Pharisee, the one that knows the scriptures backwards and forwards. You know, the apostles, you have fishermen, tax gatherers, men that get their wisdom solely through the Holy Spirit and being with Jesus Christ. And Romans clearly is Paul being with Jesus and anointed by the Holy Spirit. But because of his background, he's able to tackle some of these difficult issues, and Peter says, in which are some things hard to understand. So it's not surprising then, if you come into some of the theological areas, that they are hard to understand and there are going to be differences about them. But notice Peter goes on, he says, in which are some things hard to understand. Remember, he's speaking about the letters Paul writes, our beloved brother Paul, which untaught by Jesus. He's not talking about educational teaching here, because, you know, a lot of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they were against Paul. He's saying untaught and unstable people twist, they turn it around to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. So Peter here is calling these letters by Paul scripture, part of the Bible, holy, anointed by the Holy Spirit. When you say scripture, you say it's God-breathed. This is the word of God that the Holy Spirit is using Paul to deliver. And in these letters he uses Paul to deliver, there are some very difficult areas, difficult things to understand. And those that try to use Christianity, if they're unstable, if they're untaught, you know, there were a lot of super apostles at this time, people that really were not apostles that liked to get up and they loved to give orations, which the Greeks were great for doing, and the Jews were becoming the same way. And they would speak about things they don't really understand, just to get the crowd's attention, to get the people motivated toward them. and they're really untaught in the things of God. And they can take from what Paul's saying here, and this has happened over the centuries, and twist. Make it mean something he never meant it to mean. He could be making a point in one area. He could be making an example. He's trying to bring out a certain element, and somebody can take it and twist it into an extreme that Paul never meant it to be. And Peter's telling us that ahead of time, and it's easy to do that with things that are hard teachings, those things that are very clear, very straightforward. You can still twist them, but it's easier to do with things that are more convoluted. If he's given a long argument here, a long discussion to bring us to a certain point, it's easy along that discussion to pull out one thing, irrespective of everything else, and twist it and make a whole doctrine out of it that Paul would say, what? I didn't mean that. Didn't you understand when I said this over here and that over there, that there's no way you can interpret it in that manner, in that form? But they do it, he says, with the rest of Scripture. And really, we've seen that with the whole Bible. You can turn on PBS. You can listen to Bill Moyer give a whole week's discussions of the book of Genesis and not even believe it's literal, not believe it's the Word of God, but they teach it. They talk about it. They like to hear about it. All Scripture is twisted by those who are unstable and untaught, and especially these letters of Paul, Peter tells us. Okay. Things hard to understand. One key, I believe, when we start to study the book, when we read the book of Romans, and it goes back to our study of Paul's message to Agrippa, remember he showed that Messiah, he showed that the resurrection of the dead was a Jewish hope based on promises God made to their forefathers. It was not a Gentile hope, it was a Jewish hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and the Old Testament writings. And if you read a word in the book of Romans, if you hear a concept in the book of Romans, and you start to interpret it in your mind, you know, from American Christianity, be it with more influence from the Roman Catholic Church or from the Swiss Reformation, if that word brings up images that you've heard from, you know, either camp or other camps, rather than bringing up what that word and concept means in the light of the Jewish Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's a problem. I mean, the word election, chosen. That's a very specific word in the Old Testament when you speak about the chosen people. And if when you say the word chosen or elect, right away you think of Calvin before you think of Moses, there's a problem. Because you might misunderstand it depending upon how accurate Calvin was or not, but Moses was not inaccurate. The words have meaning in the context of this Jewish Bible, Old and New Testament. This is the promise, he says, that God gave to our forefathers. This is a Jewish hope, King Agrippa.
You can hear hundreds of Bible study programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. Don't forget to visit us on the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle YouTube channel. We live stream the Sunday message at 10:30 a.m., and then all the programs are up on YouTube to watch 24/7. You can search for the channel on YouTube, or you can use the link we have placed on the shiarjashub.org homepage. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub.